And this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And now that we've got his name out of the way, I'm Margaret Gray. By the way, excuse me, bud.
I gotta do the announcement.
Excuse me. By the way, I will be appearing at the Clam... I don't know what it is. What is it called?
It's called the Clam Can.
The Clam Can. And that's in Laguna Niguel this week. You know what? Forget it.
Yeah.
And here's Bud Dickman.
Yes, I'm Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard.
And here's General Galen Shaw. Thank you very much. And here's the man himself, Phil Hendry. Thank you very much. And what is this, man?
You said to be more diverse.
We're getting an awful lot of heat, Phil, and I think a lot of people out there should know that the baby boomers that listen to you, they've got very delicate sensibilities. Their blood pressure goes up when they play. Well, you're playing too much of the hip hop. Is that it?
About too much of the hop hop and the hip hop. And I know that it affects me, in a degenerative way.
What do you mean degenerative?
Yeah, are you physically? What else? Mentally, you think my mind is sharp. Some people may be degenerated by it, though, in terms of the mentality.
Well, I mean that's just prejudice.
Yeah, I think it's generational.
Me too.
Oh, excuse me, generational. The point is that they want to hear more of the old, the older stuff.
All right. Well, okay. Does that mean we got to play Aha?
Well, you got to cover the bases.
I think Aha is wonderful. I love that. Take on me.
Oh, Margaret, would you come on?
Excuse me, but I like that song, and I performed it at the third annual Clavin and Finch Memorial. They were a morning show in New York. Did you know that, Phil?
Yes, I did. Well, what's wrong with that?
I thought I was telling you something you didn't know. Anyway, I perform every year. They only had it for 2 years. The Clavin and Finch dinner. And I did that song.
You did a Clavin and Finch dinner.
I don't know. It might have been Clavin and Finch. It might have been Loman and Barkley. It could have been Al Smith with this thing, this debauchery that we just saw tonight. But in any event...
Oh, yeah. This Al Smith dinner.
Right, we'll get to that. Go ahead.
In any event, I sang it. Talking away, I don't know what to say and say it anyway. Today is my day to find. Did you see Rudy Giuliani just then?
Yeah. Are you singing the song?
Yeah, but I have to. Giuliani, it looked like his left eye was missing.
Yeah, Giuliani was pissed off tonight.
Woo!
I'll tell you what.
He really looked. He was smoking hot because I think he knows that Donald Trump's in trouble. Politically.
All right, well, let's not talk about that. Are we doing the,
Well, what are you...
You're gonna do La-Ha.
It's not La-Ha, it's Aha. Take on me, take on me, take me on, take on me, I'll be... I do need some gargle,
I've got some lemon juice.
Some lemon juice, yeah.
Maybe you could do it later for us.
I'll attempt it later on, if I feel like it.
Yeah, so,
General, give it a rest, all right? What you know about music, I could stick in a can.
Margaret, I know well enough that, General, it was very lovely.
Thank you.
All right, so, anyway, thanks for that. That's a big, long way of getting into the show, talking about the opening number there. Aha, Take On Me, or whatever.
No, Take Me On.
No, it is Take On Me. Right there, see?
Oh, okay.
I want to ask this question again. What is it with you guys going, oh, 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 oh?
Why?
That's all they ever do around here is go, oh, oh, oh. Why don't you just say, oh?
That's some kind of a thing they got into. One of the guests did it once.
I don't know. It just seems very natural.
It's a sort of a natural outgrowth of being surprised. It's the Phil Hendry version of surprise, or the Phil Hendry Show version of surprise.
Uh-huh. And all of that makes sense to you.
Let's not waste any time in this. So what are we? What was the comment?
Well, you were talking about the Al Smith dinner, I think.
That was Rudy Giuliani. Oh, the other thing I want to talk about is Poncho, too.
Well, which is it, Rudy Giuliani, the Al Smith dinner, or Poncho?
Well, Poncho's the cat, right?
Yeah.
So it's Giuliani, it's a cat.
Poncho, let's do Poncho.
He's laughing at Do Poncho because he thinks it's bestiality. Just missed it.
Come on, will ya?
You missed me.
Get out of there, bud. Don't do that, man. I'm telling you.
I shoot a straight right hand out. Would you dance around going, ha ha, you missed me? I put a straight right hand out there, bud, and they'll be picking teeth up for weeks.
Uh-huh. Picking teeth.
Ticking teeth?
No, you said picking teeth up for weeks. Like that.
Oh, did I? Thank you very much.
All right. There, you give yourself a round of applause. Trump and Clinton traded barb. No, I got to tell you, Poncho, our cat. Poncho is our guy cat. He's a big black and white cat. You guys have seen him. A lot of you guys have seen him on the video cast. Poncho's diet, and he was diagnosed with diabetes not more than a couple of months ago. He also had a thyroid condition where it was precancerous or cancerous. I'm not sure. We put him in the hospital, in a cat hospital down here in Tustin, where they do radiology. They got that squared away, his thyroid. And then we started putting him on insulin. And Lauren and I were giving him two shots a day, two units a day per shot. And guess what? He's in remission.
The diabetes.
Yeah, you're kidding, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, he's in remission.
Well, is that? That's it. Now, do humans go into remission?
I don't know.
I'll tell you, it's pretty rare.
I've not heard of that, never.
You've not heard of that, never?
Well, I don't know, but he's in remission, and that is really good news. Lawrence had that cat since he was, like, two, and I noticed, you know, when we started giving him insulin and got rid of this shit food, you know, they got food for cats that's crap.
What is it?
It's got cheese in it. It's got a lot of... Cats should eat meat, Jack. Meat and only meat.
Well, since, you know, the way you say it.
Why don't you guys grow up, okay?
I told them that.
Grow up. All right, you're the guy doing it.
I'm going to say it again. Cats should only eat meat. Only eat meat, and it's got nothing to do with the dirty, filthy thoughts that the two of you have, okay?
Yeah, what do you guys want? You want a cat to eat your meat?
Oh, my God.
Do you mind?
All right, listen. So, cats should only eat meat, and, so we got them, like, pate, and then the other thing we get is this dried stuff.
Now, I want to know, what is that dried stuff you got?
It's dehydrated, like chicken and dehydrated salmon, and they go ape for that. So when we started feeding him right and got on the insulin, he went into remission. Lauren took him over for his test, and he's doing good. So that's kind of good news. Also coming up in the show tonight or today or whatever time you're listening to us, we have Bobby Dooley will be talking about this. There's all conversation about groping. You know, and groping in public and groping behind. Just the idea of groping.
Now, the groping is when a guy sticks his hand...
Well, excuse me. It's when a man touches a woman in an unwelcome manner. Generally, yes, it's up. The grope is generally up and forward with the hand motion.
So it's not like just touching them on the shoulder?
No, it's not touching them on the shoulder. It has to be below your waist. You stick it...
Margaret, Robert, you want to say something?
Don't worry about it. We'll get to it.
Well,
right, never mind. Thank you very much, Robert, for that. Let's go over now to traffic here and see what's happening with Bob Bacon and the guys out on the highways and byways. Bob?
Hey, Bill, right now you've got Ryan, and I don't know whether or not they told you this, but here in Cat Street, you see the grunt? If you run down and see the grunion right out there at Huntington Beach today, you're going to find a boy. There's a boy, he's got a car and a doctor and a tire jack that kicked Dr. Asshole down and southbound of the mountain. If you're going on the highway freeway, the 5 on 5 end and the 5 and the 4 going to the 16 and the 5, a little ride and roll around the car to the 62. The 41 and 5 minute hike. Let's go to Sky Boy.
Hi, Bob. It does the same thing for me, and I got that thing front, got that straight for the CHP. Don't make you spy it. But out here on the 601, we're going to 62, and we're going up there at halftime. In the San Bernardino, I bought a lot of them to boot. And make sure you boot the suit and suit boot, put up a zoot suit. What's going on, dude, boy? It's Sky Baby Sweet Tan. I don't know what the hell is that. I don't know what the hell is
that. Really?
Wash and wax.
I am the Tin Man. Remember me from The Wizard of Oz? Well, I'm the Tin Man. And what I need more than anything else is a good oiling every now and again. That's why I like Harbor Oil. Here it is in the handy tin. When I'm walking out there into the woods, there's a flying monkey or some kind of a witch. I got to get that oil and I got to get going. A lot of people don't think I can move as fast as I do, but I do with Harbor Oil. Harbor Oil comes in the small, that's the little teeny one, the little teeny size. See, the little comes in that teeny size. Then the next one up, then the next one up, then the next one up, and it never ends. It's
never ending.
The Tin Man uses it. You should, too.
Carboil is good on your lawnmower. It's good on your vacuum creamer. Frankly, it's good on your head. It's good on anything that needs oil. And generally, that means something you're making in the kit. You can put it in spaghetti. I don't
know. Carboil from the Tin Man.
And the Phil Hendry Show, right?
No.
It's not a sponsor?
No, it isn't.
Hi, my name is Tad Cobb, and I used to be bald. Some guys can live with baldness. Well, that's their problem. But I can't. As soon as I saw that hair was falling...
Tad, you all right?
Tad's not okay. Tad Cobb could not live with baldness. So he invented a bald cure called No Bald. You put this on your head, and you've got hair for the first time in your otherwise meaningless life.
I'm Tad Cobb. I'm sorry I got emotional. I've got hair. I like hair. You want to be bald? Good for you. Have at it.
No Bald. Available at Bailey's Drugstore. Woo! Yeah! What's this is? Oh, I like this one. This is Albert King, right?
Albert King, born under a bad sign. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And Bobby Dooley's going to join us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. They're having their annual auction. And this is now the second auction they've had in the fall. The Falltacular happens for Bobby and for everybody there at Western Estates. Generally, it's in October, but it's a little late this year, Bobby, huh?
It is, Phil. We're having it in November, but as you said, there'll be two. We'll have the auction here in November, which is... what month is this?
October.
Well, I said that this was a November auction.
You're right, it is. Did I say November?
I don't think you did.
Well, you might have been reading something.
Well, if you said it was... This is October. Did you say it's November, Phil?
I might have said it's November, yeah. I don't know...
Well, it is November, then. We're going to have to treat it that way.
Yeah, because we told people it was.
You told everybody it was November, even though it's October.
Yes, that's correct. And I can hear in the sound of your voice, Phil, that you want to make an issue out of that. But really, I want to concentrate on the positives and all the work that we still have to do. We have.
All right. Well, I just want everyone. Can we?
Did you tell? What did the invitation say?
The invitation said November.
Well, why did they show up in October?
Because I went to. There was no one here. So.
Yeah, we placed phone call. We went door to door.
We went door to door and got everyone, up off their you know what. To get over here.
I don't understand, but you know what? If it works, fine.
No, I just want to know. So you went door to door.
Yeah, Phil, can we talk about the good work that we're doing here at Spose and the other good work that we're doing at Focus Forum? Because this is important for women. Donald Trump brought to the fore, and I'm a Donald Trump supporter, but he did bring to the fore the questions of groping, the grope, and sub-level issues like that.
All right, that's fine. If you don't want to talk about it, I'm just curious. You sent out invitations in November. The date comes today, which is October the 20th.
Yeah, I thought it was November 20th.
All right. And no one's there in the ballroom?
About how to a community center.
Okay. I hear an auctioneer that...
We had to call him up, too, yeah.
Why didn't you just...
Why didn't we what?
Why didn't you just stay in bed and have it in November?
Because we'd made arrangements. Because we'd ordered the flowers. Because I was in my dress. Because Steve was in his... was in the tie. He put it on the tie? Where is that?
I left it on. I took it off.
Put the tie back on. We demand silver bow ties for all of the men who are going to be on the dais for for the auction tonight. So he took the tie off. So we went door to door, and we got the band here, and I don't know what the issue is.
All right, let's never mind about it. So you're talking about the good work you're doing for the Focus Foundation and for some of these other... This is all about women being sexually abused, or...
It's more about women being groped, which we put into a category somewhere in the middle range, Phil. There are some men who still think that it's acceptable, and there are some men who think that perhaps groping makes them attractive. There are some men who know that groping is a wrong thing.
We want to get to the men and tell them that you can't grope it,
And one of the things is educating men, such as Steve here, you don't say grope it, because...
That it sounds vulgar.
Yeah, it only serves to vulgarize it.
So you're having to educate men?
It's really not about educating the men. It's about focusing. A lot of women are distracted by the grope. A lot of women will feel it, and they'll live in it. And that's the old saying you use on your show, Phil, live in it, son.
Yeah, live in it, son, live in it.
Right. And we are telling them, don't live in it. When you feel a hand, wherever it comes to rest, and even if the fingers begin movement, as a lot of them will.
You know, this is very uncomfortable for me, and I can well imagine for a lot of women.
I'm sorry, Margaret, but it's something that has to be talked about.
All right. Your organization, the Focus Foundation, which I guess means, according to the brochure that I have here, focus means focus. Don't let the grope bother you.
Yeah, as we say in our brochure, don't let the grope go, you know, don't let the grope go to your head.
Right.
Let it stay where it is. And
let it stay where it is. In other words, it may be.
Yeah, it might be cupping a woman's buttock.
Cupping a woman's buttock.
I can see we're going to have another one of these shows.
Well, you know what, Phil? Blame yourself.
Another one of these shows? What do you mean?
Is Charlie Rose black?
No.
Because he's on TV right now. It says Charlie Rose and there's a black guy.
Maybe that's one of his guests.
How dare you yell at my husband?
I'm sorry, Mr. Dooley. I'm very, very sorry, sir.
God damn, man. All I did was ask.
Can we get back to the point here? So you are educating women how to concentrate through a grope.
Yes, because I think what is really pulling women down, men are saying, oh, well, she's very sensitive. She can't take it. She can't stand up to it.
Why should a woman have to stand up to something like that?
Margaret, it's going to happen. And until men are educated that they're not allowed to do that, what are we supposed to do? Stand up and scream every time we feel the grope, every time we feel a finger begin to probe? What do you do?
A finger? I'll tell you this right now. I'd grab the nearest knife or fork, and I'd go for an eyeball.
Oh, Jesus.
See, that's exactly the message we do not want to send.
It seems to me that it's such an invasion.
Yeah, it's an invasion, and if I were the husband or the boyfriend, and you're saying to a woman to sit there and take it.
It's not so much taking it as in be submissive and, you know.
Not saying be a bitch.
Yeah, we're not saying be his bitch. We're saying you've got things to do. You're giving a speech. You are concentrating on an office plan. You have a conference you're planning. You're working on something. And you feel his hand go up and you feel the finger begin to probe. That is when you begin...
God damn, you're supposed to say...
Excuse me.
Wait, bud.
You're supposed to sit there and take that...
Excuse me. I think that, to use Margaret's term, excuse me...
Don't start hanging this on me, thank you.
Well, what we're trying to do is not let women be affected... Phil, I'm looking at you on...
Yeah, Mr. Henry, we're looking at you on Phil TV. It looks like you're going for it.
Are you going for it?
Going for it?
Well, it looks like you're adjusting yourself.
That's what it looks like.
Okay. And did you have to point that out?
Well, I'm a woman.
Yeah, my wife is watching this. You're reaching down, getting a handful there, getting a pair.
You know, the two of you really have not improved. I thought during the course of knowing you for years that you would somehow, you would round off the edges, that you would mature.
The edges? Did you hear what she said?
Yeah.
Hey, get a load of this. I'm talking to a lady.
Hey, Bobby.
Yes?
All right, so now...
Didn't it sound like he threw up?
It did, Mr. Renner. Are you okay?
He's fine. I'm sitting right next to him. So now that we have a culture where we're calling out men for groping, calling out men for grabbing and going for it, you're saying for women to sit there and take it. And I don't get it, and I wouldn't countenance or counsel any wife, any daughter, or any female relative or associate of mine to do that.
Doesn't sound like you just... You're not asking for it.
No, you're not asking for it, if I may, Bobby.
Go ahead, Steve.
You're not... No. What we're saying to the women, you've got bigger fish to fry. If you've got up giving a speech, if you've got... If you're in the middle of a speech, and it may be a speech to, like, the president, like Hillary Clinton, and you feel a hand go up and then begin the probe with two fingers, and you'll know it's a probe...
You know, excuse me for a minute.
General, I was speaking. You'll know it'll be a probe.
No, wait. What is this, the tingler or something? You're talking about...
What do you mean the tingler? What's that?
He's talking about a science fiction movie where some sort of a creepy thing...
Yeah, it creeped in.
It creeped in. I'm looking at Mr. Henry. He's laughing.
No, I'm not. I'm shocked and I'm appalled at a conversation, any conversation that we would have where you ask a woman to just sit and take it.
Mr. Henry, I would not say that. What I would say is what we're trying to do and what my wife Bobby is trying to do here through the Focus Foundation and through Stop a Grope, or what did we call that?
We don't have a name for it yet, but we want to call something like Grope.
We have no name for it. In fact, we don't even have a real auctioneer. I mean, we've got an auctioneer, but there's like three people here.
Well, maybe next time you'll stick to the original date.
This is the original date. All right, we wrote down November, but in my mind.
Yeah.
Now, what we want to do...
Three people, huh?
Yeah, but we're raising money, because they're three very wealthy people. And we'll have another one of these in the real November, not made-up November. But let me get to the point, Phil. When the Focus Foundation, when we saw Hillary Clinton and we heard about the women that Donald Trump had allegedly, and again, I'm a big Trump supporter.
I can't feature that. I mean, I shouldn't say.
No, you shouldn't say. There are a lot of women that believe in this candidate. I do. And he's been accused of his hand going right up there. I didn't hear anything on a two-finger probe, did you?
No, at this point, at this juncture, we have not yet heard about a probe.
What difference does that make if the guy's... Oh, man. You're talking about a guy's hand going up and in? Holy Christ. No, man, that's bad enough.
It may be bad enough, but we define a full invasive probe as the hand upside down goes in, so it's palm up, turns, probes in, and begins to move with the fingers extended.
Now, how do you know all of this?
Oh, my God. Do you think my wife knows all about the probe, huh?
Do you think I've been probed?
I do.
Oh, my Christ, did you hear that? I do. The Wicked Witch of the West will be right back after this from Burger King.
I do, and I'll tell you that I think using the word probe is salacious, it is vile. The word is grope, all right?
I know it's grope, but I want people to understand that it's not a grope unless the probe is initiated, that's all.
Yeah, and the probe is generally, well...
I'll do it. The probe is generally two fingers that are probing, I hate to say it, the other one, the other area.
I've had about enough of this.
Bobby, I thank you very much for being on the show.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I thank you very much for being on the show.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. I'll do it. We thank you very much for being on the show.
No, you don't. You are judging us. You've completely eradicated any discussion of the probe.
Not like we wanted to talk about it.
And trying to get women to concentrate and to have the empowerment so that when a man does begin the grope and features the two-finger probe, that you continue to concentrate on the speech or whatever the fuck it is you're doing.
How dare you?
May I please hang up?
No, how dare you? I've never heard you, Bobby, use those words.
Women are under assault, Phil.
Women are under assault, Mr. Henry.
Then why would you teach them how to put up with the grope and especially the two-fingered probe?
Yeah, right there, what the man said. Why would you do that?
Because we have to start somewhere. And if a man is going to put the hand in upside down, palm up, and then you...
Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley and the Focus Foundation to help you survive, in fact, to help you live with the grope.
Well, that's not what she calls it.
She sure as hell did call it that.
Yes, she did. She called it The Grope featuring The Probe.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's a rock band or something. The Grope featuring The Probe.
Maybe he's the lead singer.
All right, we're going to be right back. Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com, baby.
What a load. Well, I think that's wrong, Miss Henry.
Don't look at me, man. I didn't start it.
Oh, look at Phil. Stand up, we will ride.
Man, the world-famous Phil Henry Show for the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Right on. Thank you very much, bud. And we thank Bobby and Steve Dooley for another completely worthless appearance.
Oh, wait, hold a minute. Because, she called back.
Yeah, I know she called back.
You want to have her on?
No, I do not want to have her on.
Right, well, she feels that she was... Jesus, when are you going to get that fixed?
I don't know. As soon as Bud gets off of his ass and...
The Module 7 will be fixed, but we have to take the entire board in to have a fist.
To have a fist?
To have it fixed, sorry.
Anyway, so what?
Well, Dooley... Bud, you know...
Yeah, she called up and she said that she was treated unfairly and that they didn't have a good run-up to this thing. And that the Focus Foundation is more than just surviving a couple of fingers up the butt. You know?
Will you stop that?
Why did you say that?
I'm sorry.
So that's what it is, huh? That's what she calls the grope featuring the probe?
Yeah. It's basically a probe down. A probe of the ass.
Well, why would they differentiate?
I don't know, but I think it's probably because it's a particularly invasive one.
Well, I can tell you as a woman, and I'm not going to go any further than that in my qualifications, that it matters not where or how often. It's all invasive. It is sexual assault, and that's what we're talking about. And for you clowns to let her on this program...
Wait just a minute.
No, for you clowns to let her on this program and talk about the probe and the...
Well, you know, Bobby Dooley is one of these women... seems to think it's in everybody's imagination, you know.
All right, that's fine, General. Go ahead and make certain that you are not responsible for this horrifyingly bad interview with Bobby Dooley. I can assure you I'll be writing about it in my diary.
So what?
How dare you?
Well, Mr. Emery.
So what? So Ms. Dooley came on here and said what she said.
Well, you countenanced it.
I countenanced it? I hung up on her ass is what I did.
Well,
he did.
Yeah. All right. I countenanced it. Donald Trump was booed at the Al Smith dinner. I don't know if you guys know about this. And I'm not going to do anything political here. It was actually, I thought it was a pretty good dinner. It was last night. You're hearing this show today, so it would be last night for you. And it was, I thought, in my opinion, it started out good, you know. Mr. Trump and Mrs. Clinton were both kind of, having some fun. They were...
Well, they were in the spirit of the thing.
Yeah, they were in the spirit of the thing, which is basically the spirit of this Al Smith dinner, which raises money for a variety of charities, particularly for children's charities, is an annual dinner, and there's a lot of roasting and a lot of kidding, and I thought they were doing a really good job. But then what happened was Mr. Trump got up and did his line of jokes about Hillary Clinton, which a lot of them were very funny. One of them was...
Yes. Get to the good stuff, will you?
No. Will you hold on for a minute?
Captain, girl, you're talking about having respect for a lady.
Yes, what about it?
All right, I'm going to have respect for the joke that he told was, I don't understand. Michelle Obama gets up and makes a speech, and everybody loves it. My wife gives the exact same speech, and they don't like it. I don't get it. That was a good joke.
All right, I'll give you that. That was a very good joke, yes.
And then I guess he started to veer into General.
Well, he started veering into calling Hillary Clinton corrupt and saying she's this and that. A lot of people thought it went over the line. My understanding, I'm going to get on Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, although I'm not sure I understand exactly what Jay Santos would have to do with this. You are a nonpartisan, non-political agency, is that right, Jay?
Oh, absolutely, nonpartisan, non-political. General, we don't play favorites. We don't at all try to tell people what to do or what to think. All we do is, if people ask for us to be in any public function, we will sit down at a table that is near the dais, or we'll sit down at a table that's near some of the more prominent people, and we'll sort of, you know, cock an ear toward the table that we want to basically be monitoring and listen for anything that might be considered, offensive or not right.
Well, that's like violent freedom of speech.
So you're eavesdropping on people?
Wait a minute. What has this got to do with the Al Smith dinner?
Well, I'll give you an example. If we had been at the Al Smith dinner tonight, and I would have sort of cocked the head. Like I said, you don't want to be too intrusive. So when Mr. Trump got up and started talk, I would have sort of just been looking at my glass of water, or I might look at a flower, or I might look at one of my shoes. But my head is kind of bent toward him.
So you're not noticed?
I'm sorry?
So no one notices you listening to him?
That's correct.
Well, why would you want to do that? Everybody's listening to him. He's the main speaker.
General, take it easy, man.
Yeah, General, your blood pressure.
Don't give me the blood. This is a ridiculous and a time-wasting interview. This man here...
Well, hold on, General. I mean, I'm listening for anything that could be over the line. And at that time, if the company contracts with us, we tell them, I would have walked up to Mr. Trump. I would have patted him on the shoulder. I said, hey, this is just great. You might want to just slow it down. I would whisper that to him. I wouldn't say, people would only see my back. They basically see the back of my jacket and the back of my pith helmet as I'm just kind of, you know, they'd see my hands kind of motioning to calm down. But they wouldn't see me, and they wouldn't see anything that I'm saying.
You're going to go up there and tell Donald Trump what?
I'd go up, and I'd say you're going over the line.
How do you know he's going over the line?
Oh, my God. You didn't hear the joke tonight? He said she was corrupt.
Do the people that run the dinner, do they ask you to, or do they give you parameters?
The people that run the dinner give me parameters. But their parameters are way, 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 way far away. Our parameters are more tight. And they do give us the leeway. And to the question, do I embarrass them?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to go up there. Donald Trump is on the stage. First of all, I don't understand why any dinner.
Why would a group of people want to hire you?
For the very reason that you have a charity dinner, and you have people who are giving money, and next thing you know, you have someone up there who wants to do a smart mouth act, wants to, and I'm not saying that's Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump was, I think he was personally, I thought he was fine, but I there's some people that might be over the line, right?
All right, so see, people are over the line. You walk, then what do you do?
Then I get up, I walk over to them at the lectern or the DS or the DS, and...
The DS?
That's what it's called.
Yeah. That's what it's called, Dickman. So I walk over there. I turn my back to the crowd. So all they see is the back of my jacket, which would be a black dinner jacket, and the back of my pith helmet. And I'd be saying, you know, well, just don't say that and don't say that. And because you're pissing, you know, you're pissing people off. And
how do you think Donald Trump would?
Well, there's a great question. What do you think Donald Trump would do?
Donald Trump would do if I walked up there?
Yes. What do you think he'd say to you?
He'd probably say, get out of here.
Exactly. He'd tell you to get out of there. He'd probably ask one of the people at the dinner to have you escorted out or have security escort you out.
And that's when I say to him, guess what? I am security. Oh! See? So,
Man, everybody's got to go, oh! Like a chick around here, man.
Yeah, it's a little extreme.
All right, well, I'm sorry, but I'm here to save lives. That's what Citizens Auxiliary Police is all about. And when we go to anywhere, we could be in a neighborhood where kids are blowing off firecrackers. We could go into a neighborhood where a man is being assaulted, or he's assaulting. We can go into a neighborhood where a dog's being assaulted, or a cat, you know, or a domestic pet. We could go, and sometimes we peek over the shoulder of the police to make sure that people or their automobiles are operating properly, that there's safety. And sometimes we're asked to go into a dinner, like the Al Smith dinner, and listen for anyone being insulting and just go up and say, hey, you know, you're being crude and rude.
Well, you know, there's nothing about what you do that is the least bit surreptitious or private. You walk right up to the guy and...
No one's hearing what I'm saying. That's what you don't get.
It doesn't matter, Jay. If you're standing there in front of everyone...
My back is to them. All you see is the back of a pith helmet.
Whatever, man. So I see the back. That'd piss me off more if I saw the back of a pith helmet.
Why?
I don't know. Just the idea of you standing there with your pith. Oh, man.
Yeah, they'd probably want to kick ass.
Well, that's, you know, that's your funeral, you know.
Oh, baby. What I wouldn't give. Hey.
So, why the need for this?
Well, the need is that we're getting more and more of these roasts, getting more and more people roasted. And more people are taking some serious shots. Recently, Ann Coulter was roasted on Comedy Central. Had they hired Citizens Auxiliary Police Monitoring Unit, we would have probably been able to dispense with some of the comments about Ann Coulter looking like a horse, looking like Mr. Ed, looking, Ann Coulter looking like a man, like she's got an Adam's apple and she's a man. You know about that, Mr. Henry? Have you heard about that? That's a total insult.
That is just, that comes with the territory, I'm afraid. Ann Coulter is a lightning rod for a lot of people, and she is going to draw a lot of criticism.
And of course she should, but some of it goes over the line. And I think Ms. Coulter herself has said, you know, say anything you want about me. Well, brother, you talk about my Adam's apple, and, like, I've got a...
What'd you say?
I think I heard what he said.
I said, if she's saying, you talk about my Adam's apple and talk about me like I have a dick.
Oh, okay, I heard you.
Yeah. I would say...
Say it, dick! What a... Ah! Kick your ass. Phil, come on. Kick your ass, man. You heard full well what he said.
Yeah, Dickman, you know, you're going to overstep your bounds one of these days, and even I won't be able to save you.
Yeah,
That's comforting.
All right. We're talking with Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police about these testimonial dinners. Donald Trump was at the Al Smith dinner this evening, as was Hillary Clinton. They both had some very funny jokes. And I thought and I thought they were both deferential to each other. And I even saw, Mr. Trump, as he was walking to the dais, you know, patting her on the shoulder. It was a friendly pat. There wasn't anything the least bit condescending.
Well, you know, you have to keep an eye on all of that, because it could be in the strictest sense, you could call that assault. I know it's not, so don't...
How could a pat on the shoulder be assault?
If it's not a welcome pat, if it's something else preceded, in some instances, it could go down and qualify for what we would call probing or grope it. I would not...
Yo, get out of here.
No, I wouldn't call that, but I'm saying.
All right, so there is a need for security, and tonight at the Donald Trump dinner, you felt you saw that.
Yes.
And the Ann Coulter Comedy Central roast, what else?
Oh, there's been... Mr. Trump has been roasted himself on Comedy Central. Joan Rivers was roasted on Comedy Central a few years ago, God rest her soul. And Gilbert Gottfried just got up and started talking about... You know, I'm...
About what? Well, use the mumble. Go ahead.
He started talking about...
What'd he say?
He's talking about how it's...
All right, I don't want to hear this, if you don't mind.
All right, well, they asked me. Joanna.
Okay, all right. She doesn't want to hear it.
Well, that's what they were saying.
All right, so you sit there and you go up and say to Gilbert Gottfried, cool it.
I'd walk up and I would just, with my back and my pith helmet to the crowd.
That's right. Everybody sees the back of your pith helmet. Does it say anything on the back of your pith helmet?
Yeah, it's bad. We have a band on our pith helmet. It says CAP, Citizens Auxiliary Police. That's a badge that goes on both sides, on the front and on the back. So you can see it for sideways and frontwards and backwards. Okay? Does that make you feel bad?
Yeah, that it does. It angers me that you walk around out there with that dumbass, Jesus Christ. Yeah, with that whole pith helmet thing.
Well, you're going to have to get used to it, because we have been hired by a number of groups to monitor their dinners, to mingle in the crowd, to mix and mingle, and to make sure that no one is getting out of hand with some of these comments that are very, very hurtful and can prove to be divisive in the middle of a campaign. So,
I want to ask something, Jay.
Yeah.
How do you mix and mingle in a pith helmet?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Well, all right.
No. How do you mix and mingle wearing a pith helmet?
You go into the crowd. I tell my sub-commanders.
Do they take the pith helmet off, or are you wearing your uniform?
No, we're wearing a tux. We're wearing a dinner jacket and whatever is required, but we have to wear the pith helmet with a chin strap. That's just...
With a chin strap?
That's right, General. You're going to turn that into oral sex?
No. Boy, you got a one-track. I was just going to ask, what's the chin strap for? But as long as you brought up oral sex, hey.
So, anyway.
Well, don't you find that nuts?
Hold on. Go ahead.
So, anyway, I forgot the question.
Question is, how do you mix and mingle wearing a pith helmet?
All right. We wear the tuxedo that everyone wants us to wear, and we also wear the pith helmet that everyone wants us to wear, and we also have, you know, the chin strap. We don't take that off, but we are very casual. We're very, I'll give you an example, just walk up to the bar, hi, can I get a Coca, you know, Coca-Cola? Hey, how you doing? You know, and just, yeah. You know, nobody, you know, cares.
No one cares that you're there at a black tie with a... All right, Jay, I appreciate you being on the show. Thank you for telling us the good work you're doing on behalf of the testimonial dinners and roasts. And
well, Phil, I'd like people to know the next one will be at us.
Jay Sandus, Citizens Auxiliary Police.
And we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What a dopey idea that is.
Look at, he's making fun of native Hawaiian music, Phil. Would you say something or do something?
Come on, bud. Get me, I'm wearing a grass.
There. You don't do it, I will. Nutsack.
You wish.
But what was that?
Beanbag in my pocket.
Petco's bedpans have been in business for the last 61 years, serving the entire North Fork City area. Our bedpans are sturdy. You can pick them up, throw them, drop them from an 8th-floor window. They're always there and ready for you. And the Plethco bedpan has been cited by the National Safety Council as a great helmet to wear in case a fire breaks out in a hospital or in the hospice where you are. The Plethco bedpan. Go in it or put it on your head. Either way, you can count on Plethco.
The bedpan that's good falling from a window or right on top of your head.
Plethco bedpans.
Plethco bedpans and diapers available at
Ricky's.
I never thought I'd say this, but Sweet Farm is now giving away a full free weekend for a relative of yours that you may suspect of having distanced themselves from the world as we know it. That's right. Sweet Farm is giving away a full weekend, 4 full days of them sitting and eating our food and using our facilities free of charge, sleeping in our beds, soiling all of our towels, the things that you usually associate with deficient people who are wealthy but are also elderly. Come to Sweet Farm. Check it out. Our open house is this weekend. Talk to the doctors, talk to the nurses, the ones that are coming in from next door. We don't have any here full time.
Sweet Farm, a place for you to go, to live in it. Live in it, son.
Sweet Farm, the combination of a mental institution, a military barracks, and a war-torn city.
Jesus, is this jive ass? Listen to this stuff.
Yo, don't you like it?
Don't I like it? What happened to this guy?
It's Volbeat. Volbeat doing that song. No, that's Alter Bridge, is what it's called.
Yeah, you better. I'll tell you what, you gotta be addicted to pain to listen to this.
Oh, General, please.
All right, Alter Bridge, world famous Phil Hendry Show. So, Bud, get that pot fixed, man.
I'm gonna.
So yeah, Pancho is a healthy cat. We're really happy to know that. I'll tell you what, it was, like I said, it was touch and go all the way.
Well, I don't know, Phil, but I know that our animals, we love them very, very much.
You know, Patsy and I, we had a little bulldog, and his name was, what the hell was his? Patsy called this Meatball. That's the name of this dog.
Uh-huh.
A little bulldog, the ugliest damn thing you ever saw in your life. It had 3 teeth, bad breath. And I'll tell you, I would have killed for that animal. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. These animals, we love them.
It had bad breath and 3 teeth, huh?
Yeah, it was the old, dirty, old, filthy. She got it from her sister because her sister couldn't handle it any longer, the breath. But, you know, Patsy knew the dog. I was vaguely familiar with the animal. But when the dog got to this house, Patsy just doted on this dog night and day. And it was a wonderful thing to see, with the exception of the fact that gradually I was just another guy, or, you know, that she didn't see me. So I'd get up.
Yeah?
Well, I'd be standing in the kitchen. Good morning, Patsy. You know, and it was just, I wasn't. Did you ever see the movie Sixth Sense?
Yeah, when a guy's dead.
Yes. And you never quite see anybody talking to him directly. You think they are, but they're not.
And that's what you felt like.
I felt like I was the guy in Sixth Sense, dead in my own home. You know, and boy, I'm sorry I'm late for dinner. And she'd say something like, excuse my language, F you, Galen. And she'd be feeding bits of thick, juicy sirloin steak to this 3-tooth.
Sounds like you got an issue.
What happened to you?
Dad, you got an issue.
Yeah, Phil, that's what you did. You went, feel like you got an issue.
Sounds like you have an issue.
Maybe I do.
Oh, get over it, General. So Patsy found a dog that she loved, that she enjoyed.
Yeah, that she went out of town with. Yeah. Didn't know that, did you?
And what is that supposed to mean?
Well, she'd go traveling with this thing. you know, she went to see her sister. She goes to see...
Didn't you say this dog used to be your sister's?
Yes.
Maybe she took the dog to visit her sister because she missed it.
Well...
Yeah, see, General, you're jumping to conclusions.
I don't... It doesn't feel like I'm jumping to conclusions.
You know, you alpha men, you really kill me.
Oh, here we go.
That's right. You expect a woman to drop everything for you. She's supposed to be there night and day, morning, noon. You're like little boys, and you think it's sexy. It's not. Taking care of a little boy is not sexy. It's not interesting at all, I can assure you.
And who says she's got to take care of a little boy?
You, when you're...
So you think I sound like a eunuch, huh?
All right, wait a minute. The general's point here is well taken. I mean, if she's spending so much time with the dog, he feels like he's a dead man.
He didn't say he felt like a dead man. He said she treated you as if you were the man in Sixth Sense.
That's exactly it. As if I was just nothing there.
All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that, General.
Well, we got over it because the dog eventually died. And,
How long did that take?
About 6 years. So...
All right, folks, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and Ted Bell.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, because we have got a special for you, something that I just assumed you all knew Ted's of Beverly Hills had, and that you all knew the Ted's of Beverly Hills meeting me, Ted Bell, invented, but I guess not, because we got a lot to talk about here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, I'll tell you that. And Chef Carl Cedilli is also with us, Phil, and Chef, come on over. And we got a lot to talk about tonight.
Ted Bell is with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Always great to talk with you, Ted, and every time I talk with you, I'm thinking about getting a steak, getting a drink.
That's what it's all about. You come to Ted's, you sit down in one of our sumptuous leather booths, go into the prime rib room, or you could go into the Ted room, our main Ted room and the Ted tent, or go into what we call the Ted pup tent, which is not what you're, you know, and we're going to rename it. But it is outside. It's where our fire pit is. In the summertime, it's a lot of fun. In the wintertime, I think it's a lot of fun. In the summertime, it's hot. You're sitting next to a fire pit that's already 90 degrees, but people seem to like that.
All right. Ted Bell joining us now. Ted, you have Chef Cedilli there. Are we going to be treated to a new recipe?
Yes. What have you come up with, Chef Cedilli?
Well, I have not come up with anything, but I've got a discussion I'm having here with Ted. And we've got a very busy place tonight, so...
I know that, but let's get this out of the way. You know, Phil, that Ted Bell came up with the tinfoil-wrapped baked potato. I know that people say, no, I didn't. Yes, I did. And that has caused my family no end of grief, listening to people over and over lying, okay, lying. And here's where I really identify with Ted Trump, or I'm sorry, Donald Bell.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump. When people lie about you, you know, it's one thing when they just say, let's just say, it's one thing if they call you a dirty, rotten, you know, XYZ, but it's another thing if they lie. And they've lied for years about the fact, which is that I invented the tinfoil-backed.
I mean, tinfoil-wrapped, right? Yeah, that's it, tinfoil-wrapped.
Tinfoil-wrapped baked potato. Now, tonight, Chef Cedilli is squaring... What were you doing?
I was quartering iceberg lettuce, and I put the blue cheese over it. And Ted says to me, you're doing the Ted wedge. And I said, the what? Is that what you want to call it? He said, that's what it is called, the Ted wedge. He said, because what you call that?
It's called the Tedge. It's not the Ted wedge. Please.
All right, Ted, I don't know the Tedge.
What's the Tedge?
What's the Tedge? You know, Phil, you know that the wedge of iceberg lettuce with blue cheese dressing and peppercorn, you realize that's my invention.
That's what he's saying tonight.
I've been eating that since I was 10, okay? And I happen to know you're younger than me.
That's my invention. You're telling me that since you were 10,
we used to go to a restaurant when I was a kid. My dad took us to the Stuffed Shirt in Newport Beach, and they always served that iceberg lettuce.
Iceberg lettuce, yes, but was it the wedge, okay?
That's what he's having his hat on, Phil. He says that the Tedge, which is the Ted wedge,
is a wedge.
Right. Or we, and originally, because we're in California, we called it the wedgie, or we just called it the wedge for the wedge surf spot, right? You know what the wedge is?
Yeah.
All right, so you do?
The wedge, yeah, I've heard of it someplace around Southern California. It's a surf space.
Surf beach or something.
Surf space, right.
Surf space.
It's a surfing beach, okay?
Right, it's a surf beach. And I called it the wedge, but it wasn't named after that. But I named it the Tedge because what I did is I cut it up into a wedge.
Hold on for a minute. I'm a chef. I have to be honest about the food that I make, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh. And you got to eat it, too, don't you?
Man.
Well?
Mr. Bell, I've been making wedge salads with the blue cheese dressing for a long, long time.
And I've been eating it since I was 10.
Not the wedge. Did you eat a wedge?
What do you mean, dude, did I eat a wedge?
Now, that's not... can you put it another way?
It does sound a little grotesque.
What are you talking about?
When you go, did you eat a wedge? People can misinterpret that.
Well, I see his point.
Oh, yeah, sure. Did you eat a wedge, Mr. Henry?
I don't remember if it was a wedge or not.
Yeah, how about that, huh? You ate iceberg lettuce, yes. And you ate blue cheese dressing, yes. And you ate the peppercorns with it. But you didn't eat it on a quarter wedge of the original head of iceberg lettuce head. You know, the head.
Head?
The head of lettuce. All right, okay. And you invented that. Yes, I invented. What is wrong with everybody?
Ted, since I've known you, you've told me you invented the tinfoil wrapped baked potato, the rum and coke, which you call a Ted, the gimlet, which you call a Tedlet.
No, that's right, the gimlet. Now, I didn't invent the screwdriver. I didn't invent any of that or the Bloody Mary. I call it the Bloody Ted, and I call it the Ted driver. All right? But I did invent the Tedlet, and I did invent the Ted. And the Tedge is my lettuce. And then the tinfoil wrapped baked potato is called the it's the potato, right?
It's called the Ted under wraps.
Ted under wraps?
It's called Wrap Ted.
Oh, that's it. It's a Wrap Ted. And
do people order this?
No, they just look at it and say, I don't want that. Yes, they order. It's a baked potato in tin foil.
All right, well, do they say, I'd like to have a Tedge, or do they say...
The Tedge is the lettuce.
No, what's the tinfoil-wrapped potato?
It's called a Wrap Ted. Wrap it around Ted, something like that. What is it? Yeah, it's called Wrap Ted.
Wrap Ted?
Yeah. Look at Henry. Wrap Ted.
And what was the tatato?
That was the other thing that we called it. We said, that sounded stupid. You know, so,
Oh, and Tedlet doesn't sound stupid.
Here, you take it. Hey, what do you want to do?
You take it.
He just threw the phone at me. I'll tell you, Phil, if he wants to call it the Tedge, if he wants to call it Tedlet, if he wants to call it the Ted, he can do anything he wants. But to say that, you know, just because he owns a restaurant.
Well, it's not that he owns a restaurant. He's making the claim that he invented that. That he specifically...
Now, you said you had iceberg lettuce, Phil, as a kid, but you never had the wedge.
No, I don't remember ever having the wedge.
That's what he's saying, that he invented a wedge. You take a wedge of iceberg lettuce, and you drizzle the Roquefort dressing or whatever over that. Now, he's claiming that. Now, he's come out with another dish, and this is the porterhouse steak. And he's calling that the Ted... Let's see. And he's now come out with one called the New York Ted Boyne. And it's him standing there with his hands on his hips, straddling a steak. And
what do you mean?
Well, that's the artwork.
It's called the New York Ted Loin.
Yeah. And he's standing there with his hands on his hips, and he's straddling a big steak. And it's
No, I don't understand.
Is it in the package?
Yeah, it's sold in the supermarkets. Now, I don't personally, you know, it's none of my business, but I think he's going over the line.
Can you get him back?
Hold on. Hey, Ted, I'm talking about the Ted Loin.
He's not authorized to talk about the New York Ted Loin?
Yeah.
No. The New York Ted Loin is not at my restaurant. That's going to be rolling out in supermarkets very, very soon. We just completed the artwork on that.
Well, he says that it's you straddling a steak with your hands on your hips.
Yes, that's right, but we're probably going to not go with that because everybody was getting upset that it looked like I was, you know, sticking my package in the people's faces. I don't know what it meant. So,
well, if you call it the New York Ted Loin, What do you think they're going to think?
I would think as grown adults, oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, that's what people in Nets are going to think.
New York Ted Loin, look, I don't necessarily think that that's crude or rude. I think you're overdoing it now.
I'm with Margaret. There's too much stuff with your name on it.
Oh, too much stuff with my name on it. Well, thank you for telling me that. I only own the restaurant. I only have broken my rear end.
Look, Ted.
No. I only have broken my ass for 40 years to try to make this place into something after my old man drank up the profits. That's all. That's all I've done. Why should I name stuff Ted? All right. I tell you what I'll do. Let's call it Phil's of Pever- of
How about Phil's of Te- of Ted Tedley Bill of Tedleyville?
What is that asshole trying?
All right, don't call him that. Be quiet, Ted. I mean, be quiet, bud.
Be quiet, Ted, huh?
Look.
But you know, Phil, I
think you're just overreacting. Okay, I think you're overreacting to what we're saying. I'm not trying to tell you don't do it. I'm just saying, no question you're going to have an argument from people who, when you say that you invented the wedge, when you say that you invented the potato, you know, the foil-wrapped potato.
Yeah, the wrapped head or the potato. And as far as the New York Ted loin, and frankly, as far as the Tedge is concerned, the Tedge is mine. I own the Tedge. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody's. What is this? Is this the?
That's a jingle.
What the hell is this?
We gotta get going, man.
We gotta get going. Hey, everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills and have a Tedge. I invented it it's a quarter of the foot.
Ted Bell, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
he's gonna be pissed off about that. Let him, I don't care. The Tedge.
Ted Bell, it's Ted's of Beverly Hills, and go on down today and have a Tedge. It's probably very good.
Yeah.
Wait, is that part of the commercial?
Bud?
Yeah, it was the tag.
Say it again.
Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills, go on down and get the Tedge.
So that was in the commercial copy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you just trashed an entire commercial.
Every segment is purchased by him.
Yes, but that segment was purchased specifically to promote the Tedge.
Hey, Mr. Hunter, you'll be lucky to hold on to that guy's advertising.
Thanks a lot, folks. We'll see you later.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One.
God, that was a commercial, and you trashed the Tedge.